Welcome to this special sermon series entitled Profiles in Courage. Each week in this series, we will look at the great men and women from the Scriptures to find inspiration and insight that will help us to live a courageous biblical life. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the bold vision that you've given us to follow you wholeheartedly. I pray, Father, that you would be with every one of us here tonight, that you would inspire something good and right and courageous within us. I pray, Father, that we would feel compelled to stand up boldly for you, that we would be champions for what is good and right in this world, Father, that we would follow you with all that we are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of the first adventures that my husband Paul and I went on together was a hot air balloon ride. And it was something that he surprised me with, so I really didn't have a whole lot of idea of what to expect when we went into a hot air balloon ride. And we showed up in this parking lot, and they drove us over to where the balloon was, and there's a crew there that actually helps you get your balloon off of the ground. And then there's another crew that follows you around. They're called a chase crew. And literally what they do is they kind of try and track your trajectory and where you're going to go and pick kind of an ideal landing spot, because it's all dependent upon where the wind's going to blow you. And they kind of talk back and forth with the pilot over walkie-talkies. And it was fun. We went up with another couple, and God bless them, they were like there for the sightseeing. They had their binoculars, and they were stuck on the balloon with Paul and I, who were spitting over the side to see how far it would go and where it would land if we could see it. And what was so much fun about riding in the balloon was it totally changes your perspective. You're riding at about 1,200 to 3,000 feet in the air, and you're completely at the mercy of the wind. So wherever the wind blows you, that's where you're going on this balloon ride. And you only go less than 8 miles per hour. A balloon can't go up if the wind's blowing more than 8 miles per hour because it's too damaging to the equipment. And so you move actually really slowly, like way more slow than you would expect. And what's neat about it is it gives you this incredible view of the world all around us. It's not one that we get to see every day. So instead of looking up at trees, we got to look down at them. Instead of looking from the bottom of buildings, we got to see the top of buildings. And we got to look at the world around us from just a completely different view. And it's a totally uninterrupted view. There's no windows that you're looking through. There's no interference, nothing that's in the way. And it was beautiful. And it made us appreciate the world that we live in a whole new way. Everything just kind of looks cool when you're looking down at it. When you're up and it's down, it just has a really cool way to look at it. And things that we see every day that we tend to kind of take for granted, they take on a whole new dimension and have whole new characteristics to them. We get so used to looking at some things day after day that they don't seem so special anymore. Kind of the wonder of it all has worn off after seeing it day after day, and it just doesn't seem that big of a deal anymore until you just change your perspective a little bit. And when you get to see something from a different angle or from a different view, everything looks new. Everything looks like you get to see it again for the first time. And this kind of happens in our life where we get so used to seeing things day after day that they just become normal and we kind of take them for granted. But just that small shift in perspective has the possibility to change everything. After we were up in the balloon for about an hour, we had to land. And what's interesting about landing in a hot air balloon is not like you have, like, you start here, you end here. It's wherever the wind is going to take you, which for us ended up being the parking lot of a fast food restaurant, which is a very romantic setting, I'm sure you can imagine. And we came in really fast. He didn't exactly say crash landing, but I'm pretty sure that's what he meant when he was telling us to prepare for a bumpy landing. And what we had to do was we had to brace ourselves, and you had to bend your knees, and you had to hold on to the sides, and they start talking about all of these bones that could be broken if you locked your legs. And we didn't really have anything to be afraid of when we went up in the air. We didn't actually know enough to be afraid. But coming down was like a whole nother story. Like all of a sudden, the guy who's flying the balloon isn't just the fun guy pointing out sights. He's the guy whose life is literally in his hands. Like we're depending on him not to kill us in this hot air balloon. And now we have all these questions like, is he licensed? Like, does he know what he's doing? Does he have experience in this? And thank God he was good. He got us down to where we needed to be, and we hopped out of the balloon. We hugged everybody. We toasted with champagne, and Thank God we were alive another day. And it's interesting because life is made of these moments of faith and fear. It's these moments that show us how great and how wonderful and how big and how cool the world could be and how much there is to see, how different things can look if we just have the courage to change our view, if we're just able to see beyond some of the things that we are afraid of. There is a man who lived a long, long time ago named Caleb, and he was presented with this moment in his life where he had to choose between faith and fear. When God freed the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt, he led them through the wilderness, and he had this plan to bring them to a whole new land, a place they called the Promised Land. And he guided them through. He was with them so they could be a free people and build new lives and homes and start fresh. And he freed them from the tyranny of slavery and was leading them to this whole new place that he had in store for them. And he was with them in the wilderness. He was with them with a cloud of smoke during the day and a fire by night. And he fed them when they were hungry and got them water when they were thirsty. And he brought them right up to the edge of this new land, this new place that was going to be theirs to like lay down stakes and build home, this wonderful place that he wanted them to prosper. And this is what he said to them in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." So there's 12 tribes in Israel, and from each one of these tribes, one guy is chosen to kind of represent the community and go out and see this new land that God was going to give them. And from the tribe of Judah, a man named Caleb was chosen. And so he represented his group, and he went with these other guys. Moses gets them all together and gets ready to send them out. And this is what he said in verse 17. He said, "Go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country. See what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some fruit back." Find out what's there and bring some back so we can see. So Caleb and these other guys, they get together and they go out to this new place. And for the next 40 days, they just kind of scout things out. And they kind of explored and see what was there and what the resources were like and what this new land was going to be. So finally, after these 40 days are over, these 12 guys come back to Moses to kind of tell him what it was like and what they saw. And they told him in verse 27, "We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And besides even that, we saw the descendants of Anak there." They came back and were like, "Well, we saw the land. It's good. Here's some of the giant fruit that's there. It's got good resources. They're amazing. But there's a problem. Because the enemy who's there is very, very strong, and they've got these fortified cities, and I don't know if you know who these people are, but their descendants are giants, and they're huge, and they're much, much bigger and tougher and stronger than we are." And these spies took one look at the enemy, saw how big they were, saw how strong they were, and they were afraid. But Caleb, who was with these guys and saw the exact same thing, had a different perspective. He said in verse 30, he quieted the people and he said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it. We're well able to overcome it." So 10 of these guys are like, "No, it's too hard. It's too scary. There's big, scary guys there. We can't do this. And it's too hard." But Caleb and one other guy named Joshua said, "Guys, we can do this. Let's do this thing that God's calling us to do." But these guys who saw the thing that was scary to them were afraid. And instead of celebrating this awesome moment and this awesome, wonderful thing that God was going to do, they took that fear that they felt and they spread it among the entire rest of the people. And fear is contagious. You've seen this. You've watched the news, right? Fear is contagious. And the people of Israel were afraid. They were so terrified, in fact, that panic started to spread out. And they looked among each other, they looked at where they were, they looked at what was ahead of them, and they actually said, "I wish we could go back to being slaves in Egypt rather than doing this next thing." Said, "I wish I would have just died where I was rather than doing what's ahead of us. I wish God would have just let us die here in the wilderness. This is too hard and it's too scary. The problem is they forgot God in that moment. Because in their history with God, they'd seen God do some incredible things. God literally rescued them from slavery, from the pain and ugliness of being overruled every single day. God defeated a harder, stronger enemy than the one they were facing. And God did that for them. God was with them the whole trip to get them to this place. God rescued them from these impossible circumstances, and he promised that he would be with them even in this next challenge that they were going to face. But the people forgot what God could do. But Caleb didn't. Joshua and Caleb stood up. They tried to calm everybody down. And in chapters 14, this is what they said. In verse 7, the land which we pass through to spy out, it's good. It's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. I love the analogy that Caleb uses here. He's like, they're so not even worth being afraid of, they're like bread. Now, a baby can demolish a piece of bread, right? Like a child can tear up a piece of bread. He's like, that's what this is to us. We don't have to be afraid. So you'd think after this like crazy good, like rallying the troops, encouraging the speeches, that hearts would be like, all right, we got this. Let's do it. Let's charge the gate. But they're like, let's just kill Joshua and Caleb and go back to being slaves. Let's just stone these guys and go back to slavery and be done with it all. And into this mess, God stepped in. And he said, this is not how it's going to be. This isn't how it's going to work. And in fact, what he ended up saying is none of these people who'd gone this far, who'd seen all of these wonderful things, these incredible things that he'd done, none of them were going to get to see this new land, because their fear wouldn't take them past where they currently were at. None of them were able to go from this wilderness to the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. God said, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And God's people stepped right back into the wilderness where they were. They stood right on the edge of this wonderful land that God wanted to give them. They stood right on the line of this awesome thing that God was going to do next. But their fear stopped them and would allow them to go no further. And what's interesting is God's people had this incredible choice in this moment. In this one moment, they had a choice, because they had God on one side, God who had done incredibly mighty things, who'd been with them every single step of the way, who'd promised to be with them and give them this land. God who had showed them again and again and again how mighty he was, how powerful he was. And on the other hand, they had this enemy that they were afraid of. They had this danger that they were up against. There was going to be a fight, and the enemy was strong, and they were scary, and they were tough. But right in the middle stood God's people, the Israelites. And they had a choice between a strong and mighty God and a scary, dangerous enemy. And their fear was stronger than their faith. And they said, it's too scary. We can't do this. But not Caleb. Because Caleb wasn't looking at the fear. He wasn't looking at the danger and the scariness of the enemy. He wasn't overwhelmed by it, because his eyes were resting on God. Because he knew what God could do. He knew how powerful and strong God could be. And he knew that God was with his people, that God was at work, and that the love God had for his people can overwhelm even the strongest and most hardest of times. And Caleb tried to convince the people. He said, God's got this. We can trust him. God's going to win this fight. It's done. It's nothing we have to be afraid of. And when he does, look how good this land is going to be. Look how wonderful this home is going to be, where we get to start fresh and build new lives with one another. But they couldn't hear it. Once the fear got hold of their hearts, they couldn't see God. All they could see was the thing that they were afraid of. And because they chose fear over faith, they missed out on this incredible opportunity that God wanted to do in their lives. An entire generation of people missed out on what God was going to do. And friends, this is the worst thing about fear. It robs us of the very potential of what could be. It ruins our futures with dire warnings and worst-case scenarios and horrible predictions of what could come. God didn't stop watching over his people. The people stopped looking at God. God didn't fail his people. The people gave up before God was done. They quit before God was finished. Their faith only led them right up to the edge of the wilderness, but it would not see them any further. And they missed out on this wonderful promise that God was going to do for them because their fear overwhelmed their faith. The very same thing happens to us. We see things that are dangerous. We see things that are scary and hard, and we see evil, or we're confronted by hard times, and our fear feels very, very strong and overwhelming. And at times, it feels like we can't go any further because we're so afraid of what might happen next. I love what Erin McManus said. He said, we can become so afraid of death that we never live, so afraid of failure that we never risk, so afraid of pain that we never discover how strong we really are. Said, I wonder how many victories are lost before the battle's even begun. Said, I wonder how much more good God desires to usher into the world that's been thwarted by our own lack of ambition. Said, I wonder how many times in my own life I thought I failed, but actually the only thing that happened was I quit. We stop before God is finished. And we settle for so much less than what God had intended for us. Because friends, our faith isn't cultivated in moments of comfort. Our faith doesn't grow in times of ease. It is in the dangerous, most scary moments, the moments of the unknown, that faith gets the opportunity to step up, spread its wings, and say, let me show you what I can do. It's in this striving and struggling forward that faith grows. It's in the challenges that we face in life that our faith gets the opportunity to stretch and grow to its limits. And Caleb's faith got to grow with God. When others said no, Caleb's yes to God was so much stronger than any other voice that he was not stopped by what other people were afraid of. His vision for what God could do, it was bigger than anybody else's fear, and his faith led him forward with God. An entire generation missed out, but not Caleb, because Caleb had a spirit of faith and courage and strength because of what God might do. And Caleb waited. As one generation started to die out, another one rose up in its place, until the time came to claim this new land. It took about 40 years for one generation to pass, and another generation was ready to step up and move forward with God. Caleb was about 40 years old when he went out to spy that land. And now he's about 85, so it's about 45 years in between. And this is what he says to Joshua in Joshua 14. He said, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now, as is my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. He's 85 years old. He had every reason to say, you know what, God, it's been a good run. I'm tired now. I gave it all I had. I was strong. I was faithful. But listen, he's like, I'm as strong today as I was then. He said, I have just as much in me right now to fight this fight that you want to do as I had 45 years ago. We don't know when God is done. We don't know what God might do. We do know that God gives us spirits of boldness and courage and faith when we put our trust in him. And what's awesome about this is the very city that all of these men were terrified of, the very place that sent them back in fear, this is the place that Caleb says, that's mine. That's my land. That's my hill to charge. I want to fight there. I don't care if there's giants. I don't care if it's fortified. If God is with me, who knows that he might choose to bless me and give me this land? He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't daunted by the fear that stood ahead of him because he had an incredible faith and remembered what God could do. He wasn't held back, but he charged forward, and that land became his inheritance. That land became his family's inheritance because he wholeheartedly followed God, even when it was hard. When I read about the life of a man named Caleb, like Caleb, I'm just reminded by what God can do. I'm reminded by what God does when ordinary guys and girls just like us say yes to him. And I want to do more. I feel like a weakling. I'm not even that old yet, and I'm saying, God, you know, I want to be more courageous like Caleb is, and I want to try harder and have this bold, fierce faith that pushes us beyond what we can do. I want our church to have the kind of faith in God that pushes us right outside of our comfortable limits. And it puts us right in the place where we're fully depending on God to show up. If God doesn't show up, we're going to fail miserably. Where we're pleading with God, God, I trusted you. I followed you here. Do what you said you would do, please. I want our faith to grow in the only way it can in these adventures that we say, God, I need you to show up. Because if you don't, I might die. I might fall flat on my face horribly, but God, would you please choose to bless this? Who knows what might happen if you could show up? But friends, to get there, we have to push past fear. We have to push beyond these moments that are terrifying and scary and hard. Because fear is the very thing that says, you can't do this. Fear tells us that it's too hard and it's impossible and it's dangerous. Fear says, somebody's gonna get hurt. Don't go there, turn around, go back. Fear says, no, it's not possible, give up. And fear robs us every single time of the opportunities of what might be. It robs us of the very lives we were meant to live when we give it control. And it holds us back in these prisons of all the things that could go wrong. Mom, can I get one amen? Yes. I have terrifying dreams of what might happen to my children. They haven't even left the house yet, barely, and I've got all these things, right? Fear is terrifying, and it plants these ugly seeds in our mind that when we give it control, it makes us step back again and again and again for all the fear of what might be. And some of us have been looking at fear for so long that we have forgotten it doesn't have to be this way. We've let fear rule for so long, and it's made our decisions, and it's had all of the control, and it's grabbed our heart in this ironclad grip. And we have forgotten that the God we know has given us a spirit not of fear and timidity, but faith and courage and power and might. That we serve a holy, mighty God, and he is in control. That yes, there is danger in the world. Yes, there are things that are evil and ugly. Yes, things could go wrong. But our faith in Jesus Christ reminds us that there is one who's overcome even death itself, and we can trust in him. That evil doesn't win. That fear doesn't get to have the final say because our mighty God has called us to courage and faith in him. And faith is the thing that says, you can do this because Christ is with you. you can go there because you have a mighty Savior who's fighting on your side. Faith says you know God. You know just how much God is capable and what he can do. And faith is the thing that compels us to get up again and again and again and try again. Faith is the thing that helps us wipe the dust off our fingers. It wipes the blood off our scraped up knees and says, I won't give up, because who knows what God might do when we charge this next hill together. Because we're on God's team, and his voice is calling us. His love, his compassion, his grace are the ones that get to rule in our hearts, and his voice is stronger than fear. His love is mightier than the largest evil that exists. His grace covers more than we can even start to consider. And faith says, don't forget, God is at work, and there's nothing that he can't do. That the God we know and love, he's gonna win. He's gonna win, and that we get to live lives of faith and not fear. But our faith has to be stronger than our fear. Our faith has to say, do not give up. Trust in God one more time. And every time we start to feel fear creep in again, every time we see something that scares us, every time it gets one little foothold, we look to Jesus Christ. Every time we have even an inkling of fear in our hearts, we look to Jesus Christ and we say, God, help me to follow you. Help your voice to be louder than this fear. Not because it's easy, it's not easy, but it's worth it every single time. Because when we do, God cultivates within us a spirit that is courageous and strong and will try the next hard thing that God wants to do. And our hearts grow. Every time we silence fear, every time we let the voice of Christ speak to us, our souls thrive in response to the voice of Jesus Christ. I love this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. Every time we push past fear, every time we try, we gain a little bit more courage and a little bit more strength. Every time we say fear, no, you don't get to have the final say. Your voice doesn't get to win. Not this heart, not this life, not this generation. You don't get to dictate the future for us. Our faith in Christ grows. Friends, every time we give Christ a chance and we go where he calls us to go and he shows up, we get to step back and say, I did that with God. Look what he did and what I got to be a part of. Every time we look back on our past and we see some of the hard things that have happened to us, we get to choose to define our life not by those horrors, but by the fact that by God we survived them. We moved past them, and we stand here today because of the grace of God. And if we can get through that, what couldn't God do? If we could push through that, what wouldn't God do next when we trust him and follow him again? But we have to push past our fear, and we have to rise up in faith with Jesus Christ one more time again. When he was 8 years old, Lex Gillette started losing his vision. Doctors worked real hard. He went through like 10 different surgeries to try and get his sight back, but it didn't help, and he went completely blind. He said, at that age, the first thing that went through my mind was not being able to play video games and not being able to play outside with my friends. He said, not riding a bike, then not seeing my family, my mom, her facial expressions, her smile. He said, that was a really difficult moment for me. But with his mom's help, he started getting the courage to try these things again. He started going outside, then he started playing with his friends. He got this new sense of awareness and balance and started trying to do things again. And what's incredible is when he was in high school, he started competing in track and field. At the age of 17, he won his first medal in the long jump, and 2 years later, he started competing in the Paralympic Games in Athens, and he has gotten a medal in the last 3 games. He's completely blind. He has no vision left. And he runs the long jump. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the long jump before, but this is the thing where they run really, really fast and really, really hard for about 80 feet, and then they jump as hard and as far as they can go and land in this giant sand pit. And here's how he does it. He runs with a guide named Wesley Williams. And what happens is when they started training together, Wesley would run alongside Lex, and he would nudge him with his elbow so he'd know when to turn and what was coming up ahead of him. And when he decided to practice the long jump, here's how he does it. Wes will line Lex up right at the starting point. He squares his shoulders so he makes sure he's pointing in the right direction, points his toes towards the finish line. Then he runs down the 80 feet right before Lex jumps into the sand pit, and he claps his hands and he yells, "Fly, fly, fly, fly," the whole time while Lex is running as hard as he can. And then he stops, and then Lex jumps as hard as he can, which ends up being something over 22 feet. He set some record, and he does it. He runs towards him all that he can. He jumps through the air, and he flies towards his friend. He can't see anything, but he hears the sound of his friend's voice, and he trusts him, and he runs towards him, and he jumps, and he literally flies through the air. This is courage. Courage is hearing the voice of Jesus Christ and running as fast and as hard as we can in his direction. It's not being stopped by fear of the unknown, but charging valiantly forward into the future because we hear the voice of our mighty God calling us and we're following him. Friends, what if we just shifted our perspective a little bit, just gave our views a little tiny shift instead of running away from the things that we are afraid of? What if we just shifted and started running towards Christ instead? Because this is our life. This right now, this moment, who we are today, this is our life. This is our shot to give all that we have, to do everything that we can, to live the very best life that God has called us to live. And what are we waiting for? What are we saving our courage for? What are we holding back that if we just ran towards Christ, God might show up and do an incredibly awesome, wonderful thing? What if on the other side of fear is the very best life that God is calling you to live? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us tonight. I pray that you would overwhelm our faith with courage in you. I pray, Father, where fear has won, that you would help us to stand up and push back against it. I pray, Father, where we've been intimidated or overwhelmed or held back, that you would give us a spirit of boldness and faith in you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a bold generation that strives forward valiantly with you. I pray that you would give us the kind of hearts to look towards you in everything, when it's good and when it's hard. I pray, Father, that our eyes would be so focused on who you are and what you're doing that everything else would fall to the side. Help us, please, I pray, and that in all of this, the name of Christ would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.